Start this year.
So, you know, it's
you could do product placement if you want. You could do.
All right. I'm Neve Fishbein. My son Judah's in 10th grade. Dr. Schwarzenberger's my GI.
Oh,
okay. TMI.
Yeah, seriously.
And I think you guys had enough, so rather than take them.
Beautiful. All right, so it really is just tremendous to have everyone here. So what I wanted to do tonight is share with you a little piece on the topic of tshuva and also related to the parasha. Again, my hope also is, and Rabbi Cohen will and Meretz Hashem really take the lead on a lot of this programming. You know, hopefully we'll do this on a semi-regular basis. I know everyone's pulled in a million different directions. So first, I just really want to say, I really just want to thank all of you for carving out the time tonight to be here. I know that really everyone is so busy and so pulled in so many different directions, and it's such a schus to be able to have all of you here. So I figure we'll use our time a little bit for a little bit of this orus. And again, I want to say, our shir tonight has nothing to do with chinuch. Nothing to do with chinuch, right? But rather, again, well, I guess everything has to do with chinuch, because when we become better people, then Emir Hashem, we become better parents as well. And the more inspired we become, then Emir Hashem, the more inspiration we're able to convey to our children. But to me, this was a very striking piece by Rabbi Nachman. So those of you, maybe, I don't know how familiar the Chavra is with Chassidus, with Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, for me, like one of my all-time heroes. Why is he one of my all-time heroes? So besides the fact that he was a man who literally just changed the trajectory of Klal Yisrael, you know, Rabbi Nachman died at 39. Out of 39, whether it was tuberculosis or something, he died at 39. It's men's shoe. You could even just take it with your hands. You know, it's all right. No one's. It's all good. It's all good. Right. So he died at 39, and to me, so that's obviously tragic. But what's always incredible to think about, I think about Rabbi Nachman, is when you think about like regular people at 39. So I think most of us at 39, like, we're still finding ourselves. We're still trying to figure stuff out. I'm still making, like, you know, like my plans for the future, for what I'm going to do when I grow up. And because we always presuppose that we have all of this time in front of us. And yet you see great people who somehow, from the time that they were young, lived with such an incredible sense of urgency. I don't know that Rabbi Nachman knew that he was going to die young, but there was this sense of dramatic purpose in life. And even though he died at 39, you would never know that from the impact that he had in the world and the Torah. Rabbi Nachman himself didn't really write down any of his teachings. You know, it's interesting, by the way. Rabbi Nachman did not record any of his Torah. His Talmud, Rabbi Nassim, was the one who recorded all of his Torah. You know, it's interesting. The other example like this that often comes to mind from a different world is Rabbi Soloveitchik. Rabbi Soloveitchik, Zichron Levracha, also did not write down any of his Torah. And I always joke a little bit, like, every year, Rabbi Soloveitchik comes out with a new sefer. You know, he's been gone for almost like three decades, but somehow every year there's a new sefer. And it's interesting, he never wrote anything down. Well, they asked Rabbi Soloveitchik one time, bless you, why don't you commit anything to writing? And he says something amazing. He said that his thoughts were constantly evolving. So therefore, you know, what's true for me now may change, may morph into something else in the future. What's the power of the written word? The power of the written word is that it's eternal. Right? Once you put something down in writing, you have it. That's the power of it. The danger of the written word is it's eternal and immutable, like it doesn't change. Rabbi Soloveitchik felt that thought was just so organic that again, right now I see this as MS, but maybe I'll find something that disproves this. Maybe I want to go in a different direction. And therefore, he was always very reticent. Rabbi Nachman seems to be the same way. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh didn't really commit things to writing. What we have in writing from the Baal Shem Tov is really from the Talmidei HaBesht, which is just quite fascinating. These great people who were conveyors of a voluminous amount of Torah, yet did not really write anything down. So one of the Svarim that Rabbi Nachman's Torah is recorded in is a sefer called Likutei Halachos. Now, the way Likutei Halachos is organized is it's actually organized as Seder HaShulchan Aruch. So literally, again, you have the Shulchan Aruch on top, and Rabbi Nachman, it's fascinating, has like his Kabbalistic and esoteric insights into the halacha. A couple of years ago, I was in Eretz Yisrael. I was walking back from the Kosel, and I went up like by the Isha Torah site, and there was this Breslov Chassid just selling Svarim. And I saw this set of chumashim. It was chumashim with Likutei Halachos. And what someone did is they took Likutei Halachos and instead of putting it on Shulchan Aruch, put it on Chumash. In other words, to say, just extrapolate. And it's like one of my, like, you know, everybody has, like, if they were stuck on a desert island, you know, what safer would you take with you? So this is definitely, you know, one of my top choices, because, you know, just everything is in here. So the Rebbe says a beautiful piece. Again, we'll see what we have time for tonight. But I want it, so it's a double-sided page. I'm sorry, I forgot to number it. Let's actually take a look at... It's the Ki HaMitzvah HaZos. It's the page that says Shin Samech Beis on the top right where it says Shishi in the text. Right? So again, so this is Perek Lamed Pasuk Yudal. So the Pasuk says as follows. Ki HaMitzvah HaZos HaShar Nochim Savech HaYom. This mitzvah that I'm commanding you today. Lo Nifleisehi Mimcha V'lo Rechokehi. It's not Nifleisel, right? It's not Pella. It's not like, it's not too wondrous or just too enormous for you to comprehend. And it's not too far from you. Lo ba shamayim hi leimar, mi ale lanu hashamayim v'yikachal lanu. It's not in the heavens that you have to say who's going to go obtain it for us. V'yishma'inu osavana asena. And who's going to teach it to us that we could do it? Lo me'ever layam hi leimar, mi ya'avar lanu es evrahayam v'yikachal lanu v'yishma'inu na'o seven asena. And it's not on the other side of the river that we have to figure out who's going to cross the river in order to find it for us. Ki karov eilecha hadavar ma'od b'ficha o b'levavcha la'asoso. People think that Eitan Katz made up those words, but he did not, right? Actually, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had it first, right? Yeah, so ki karov eilecha hadavar ma'od b'ficha o b'levavcha la'asoso, right? Because this thing is very close to you in your mouth. Brian, I have extra. Right? In your mouth. In your mouth and in your heart, in order to go ahead and perform it. Good. So both says, let's go. So that's the section. When you look at that first pasuk yidalef, ki hamitzvah asher anochi mitzavech hayom lo nifleisehi mimcha. What's the problem with the pasuk? What's the problem? What would you say? What mitzvah? I'm sorry, yidalef pasuk yidalef. Ki hamitzvah zos, as Rabbi Josh just said, what's the mitzvah? Like, what are we talking about over here, right? Ki HaMitzvah HaZos, this mitzvah, and again, Moshe Rabbeinu then launches into a very powerful statement. This mitzvah that I'm commanding you to do, it's not beyond you. It's not too far from you. It's not in the heavens. It's not across the body of water. Ki Karov Eilecha HaDavar Ma'od, it's very close to you. What's the mitzvah? So what would you say? What's the mitzvah?
Love.
I'm sorry?
Love
of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Good. Any other thoughts?
Writing a Sefer Torah.
Writing a Sefer Torah. Good. Any other thoughts? Here's the good news. Whatever you put forward, right, the Mefarshim pretty much say it, because everyone is all over the place with this. In fact, most of the Mefarshim understand ki HaMitzvah HaZos actually doesn't mean a specific mitzvah. Rather, it means kol HaTorah kula. That Moshe Rabbeinu is just saying this body, this mitzvah that we call Torah, it seems enormous. It seems overwhelming, but it's not. But it's not, you know, we'll stick to the script over here. Okay, but I'll get off just 1 second. One of my favorite ideas is, you know, by Har Sinai. So the Gemara Masechet Shabbos brings down Kaf Aleim Har Kigigis, right? Vayisatzu Yisrael Tachtis Ahar. Literally translated, is Klal Yisrael camped underneath the mountain. So Rashi says, what do you mean Gemara says, what do you mean underneath the mountain? So the Gemara says, Melamed Shekaf Aleim Har Kigigis, that Hashem suspended the mountain over them, right? Like Kiviyachol, he was threatening them. Accept the Torah, or I'm going to drop it down on you. So the Sas Emes, the Ger Rebbe, says something so beautiful. He asks, why does it have to say Kafalim Har Kigigis, like a barrel? Why don't you just say what? How should you say it? Kafalim Har. That's it. Just he held the mountain. What do you mean Kigigis? And the Sas Emes says something so beautiful. He says, if you were to ask someone, is a barrel heavy or light? What would you say? Barrel heavy or light? correct. It depends. Is it filled or not? Is it empty or not? If it's empty, it might actually be quite manageable. If it's full, it's very heavy. Listen to the Sasana says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspended the mountain over the Klal Yisrael, because he said, Klal Yisrael, I know what you think. You know, what was Klal Yisrael's emotional reaction? You know, sometimes you get excited about something, Na'aseh v'nishma, right? They got excited. Then what do you think happened right after they said Na'aseh v'nishma? Buyer's remorse. Mm-hmm. Buyer's remorse. You know, Rav Shraga Neuberger has a beautiful sefer on Shalom Bayis, and in the intro, he discusses how, like, the most common reaction after getting married is buyer's remorse. Is buyer's remorse. And he says, Achas and Akala, they think like there's something wrong. What happened? He said, it's normal. He's like, in life, whenever you undertake something major that you really have no frame of reference before, it is normal to literally wake up the next morning and say, oh my gosh, what did I do now? Don't articulate that, right? You know, don't. I thought you weren't commenting tonight. I thought you had nothing to say. No, right? So amazingly enough, so what happened? Klal Yisrael says, Naseh v'nishma, and they have buyer's remorse. Like, oh my gosh, what did we get ourselves into? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was like, Kafal Hakidus, he says, calm down. I'm going to hold the mountain over you. And says this, Asam, it's always happening. Hashem was gently lowering the mountain onto our shoulders. And what was he showing us? That we could hold it. It wasn't a threat. It was a gradual shifting of responsibility onto our shoulders and to show us it's not as heavy and not as overwhelming as we thought. So ultimately, again, many of the Mefarshim understand, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying over here. Klal Yisrael, you're about to go into Eretz Yisrael. Now remember again, going into Eretz Yisrael brings all of its own associated dynamics and difficulties and challenges. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, calm down, you got this, right? You are going to be okay. Now, by the way, it's interesting. Moshe Rabbeinu tells them it's going to be okay. But yet, what doesn't he say in this section? What do you think is missing? If you're going to tell someone it's going to be okay, what do you think we would follow up? You want to put someone's mind at ease if they're having a challenge. What would you do?
It's going to be easy.
I'm sorry? It's going to be easy, although that might be lying, right? Because, right, Dafke's not saying it's easy. Oh, I'm saying, no, I'm right, he's not going to say it's going to be easy, true. If you're Moshe Rabbeinu and you want to put the people's mind at ease, that at the end of the day, they could handle this, what would you have expected Moshe Rabbeinu to do next? I'm sorry?
I'm going to help you.
Give him a plan. If you notice, by the way, he doesn't give them a plan. Why? Because sometimes in life, you don't know what the plan is, right? Sometimes in life, I have no idea what the plan is. But even with, and by the way, this is the power of Klal Yisrael, right? If you want to know what the power of the Jew is, at the end of the day, even when we don't know what the plan is, I know I'm going to be okay. I'm going to get through this. How? I have absolutely no idea how. What's the strategy? Not a clue. How is all this going to work out? Couldn't tell you. But all I know is that it's going to be okay. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Klal Yisrael over here. You can handle this. Don't get nervous. Don't get your buyer's remorse. Don't become overwhelmed. I promise you, you got this. But then the other school of thought, the Ramban and others explain that no, in fact, what's happening over here is something different. Ki ha-mitzvah azos is the mitzvah of tshuva. Tshuva, which is very profound because remember again, Parashas Nitzavim is always read in the week or two before Rosh Hashanah. Right, this year again, I feel like it's a little bit of an extra privilege that it's not Nitzavim Vayelech together. So there's an opportunity a little bit to like, It's like fine wine, right? You know, sometimes, you know, nobody gulps down fine wine. You want to roll it around your palate a little bit. So sometimes when these beautiful, like, parshios that are chock full of just incredible lessons, when they're together, you kind of have to gulp it. Here, when they're separate, you really have the ability to really take it in and appreciate it. So the Ramban and others say, no, ki ha-mitzvah azos is tshuva.
Because that's the previous paragraph.
Correct. Correct. Ultimately, you will return. And then, and that's why the Ramban. The Ramban really just looks at the juxtaposition and understands, based on juxtaposition, it must be talking about tshuva. And what is Moshe Rabbeinu essentially telling Klal Yisrael? Tshuva is attainable. Tshuva is attainable. It's not in the sky. It's not across the river. Ki karov elecha hadavar ma'od beficha. It is very close to you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. It's so close to you. So look what Rabbi Nachman says. Rabbi Nachman, if you look, so on the bottom of page, Shin Samech Beis, I apologize, if I know it's a little bit small. Should have really just done on two different pages. But he says, Lo b'shamayim hi, you see that? So Rabbi Nachman says as follows. This is a really, really beautiful piece. Now, both say, just to appreciate this, how do we understand that phrase, Lo b'shamayim? What is Moshe Rabbeinu saying? Lo b'shamayim hi means what? It's not in the heavens. What is Moshe Rabbeinu conveying?
Attainable.
It's attainable. First of all, we'll say, you could eat during this year. Right? I encourage you. Maybe you've heard from your sons that we have a no eating in class policy. That does not apply to the adults here. So
yeah,
please. I'm not going to serve you, Niamh, but you go over here. All right, now you've really exhausted all comments of the evening. I'm just telling you, right? So, when we think about Lo Bashamayimi, so what is Lo Bashamayimi? Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, like, when something is in the heavens, you can't reach it. You can't attain it. It's just simply, totally, fundamentally, fully out of reach. But look how Rabbi Nachman understands, and this is beautiful. He says, Bavadai, Afilu im lo haya efsha lekayim es haTorah, kiim al yidei sheyalu vashamayim, Hainu lasos takef avodos gevolos miod. So Rabbi Nachman says like this. Let's say for argument's sake, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that Yiddishkeit demanded of us what the Rebbe calls, essentially what we would call heroic action. Heroic action. Even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu demanded from us heroic spiritual activity, Hainu lasos takef avodos gevolos miod, Shem bechinas shamayim, bevadai, remember, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us that we had to engage in acts of spiritual heroism, what would we do? We would do it, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Armavinu, Kachnas Bincha, Sichitchas Yitzchak, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Armavinu. You know, Rabbi Sachs, Zechatat Levracha, says something so beautiful. He says, like, you know, we focus a lot, like, on Avram Avinu and the willingness to do the Akedah. The difference is that Avram Avinu, in his Akedah Nisayon, Baruch Hashem, at the end of the Akedah, what happens? Well, I don't want to ruin the story, but what happens, right? He says, Atishach Yad Chalanar. He doesn't have to Shechnitz. Rabbi Sachs says, how many times throughout Jewish history, parents did have to sacrifice their children? So the point over here is, we are capable of heroic spiritual activity. If we had to be spiritual heroes, first of all, we have been, and we would continue. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu would ask of us, we absolutely, unequivocally would do. That's not a shayla. Shem bechinas shamayim, bevadai hayinu tzrichim la'alo sachareha, ki bevadai ro'i la'adam shiyavar Hashem Yisbarach, betachlis, tachlis madrega al yona sherhi bechinas shamayim. So this is incredible. So says Rabbi Nachman, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have demanded us what we'll call heavenly divine service. What's heavenly divine service? That I need to literally push myself to the heavens. Spiritual heroism. If that's what he demanded of me, then guess what? I would do it because that's the expectation. Look what the Rebbe says. Ach Hashem Yisbarach, chafetz chesed hu, v'hu yada yitzrinu zachor ki afar nachnu. But Hashem knows who we are. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows who we are. Ultimately, again, and no l'chaim if you come at this time. I'm sorry. This is maybe chicken. Maybe chicken, and that's it. And you have to sit next to Niv. So now listen to this. So understand, the Rebbe says, if it was demanded of us ultimately again to go ahead and engage in spiritual activity, heroic activity, we would do it. But here's the incredible part. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not demand that of us. The Ribono Shel Olam does not demand spiritual heroism. Why? Because he knows who we are. Because he understands our frailties, he understands our Yitzhar, he understands our shortcomings, he understands all of this. He says, Zachor Kiafar Nachnu, the Yitzhar Leif Ha'adam Rami Nuarav. He knows that we have Yitzhara. And he knows ultimately, again, that sometimes that Yitzhara is too powerful to control. The Afshar Lecho Adam Lahaschil Tekev Ba'avodas Gavos Adla Shamaim. And that's why he does not demand of us spiritual heroism. This is one of the most beautiful things about Rabbi Nachman's writing, is Rabbi Nachman is so affirming of the human condition. You know, sometimes we create an unrealistic pressure and expectation of ourselves in Yiddishkeit. That's somehow like our goal is to be perfect. Like, you know, the passage that says, Tamim Tiyam Hashem Elokecha, and people erroneously translate as, be perfect with Hashem. And it's such a terrible translation because the Kaddish Baruch Hu never demands perfection. Why not? It's impossible. Hashem never asks of us something that we are not capable, ultimately, again, of producing. The Marshal knows who we are. He knows our shortcomings. He knows our frailties because he created them. And therefore, he does not require spiritual heroism. And the Rebbe says, because at the end of the day, even if we try to attain a level of spiritual heroism, some of us will succeed and some of us won't. That's just the nature of man. Vim kein chas v'shalom, im lo yirtza Hashem yisbarach l'kabal ha'avodos pshutos, shal stam b'nei adam aksherim, im kein avda ha'tikva. So this is so beautiful. The Rebbe says, So if being good is not enough, right? If being good at the end of the day is not enough, right? If being good is not enough, then I will say, you know what that means? That means most of us are set up for profound failure. Because we'll say, again, we're not going to take a show of hands, but for most of us, just being good is a struggle. Just being good requires a tremendous amount of effort. So ultimately, again, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not willing to accept good, and he's not willing to accept just the effort that we're ready to put in, then how frustrating does that Yiddishkeit become? Sharov Olam Alkein. So listen to this. And it was like, so again, so I just want to point out what the Rebbe is highlighting over here, because it's just a tremendous construct, right? And the construct ultimately is, I'm sorry, I didn't bring any knives. No, it's not here. Mosey didn't. What? I'm sorry. No, I know. I saw you looking since. But it's, you could use your hands. It's okay. Let's say, so the Rebbe is creating a construct, right? So the construct ultimately is that whereas spiritual heroism exists, that is not what is demanded of us. That's not what's demanded of us. In fact, I want to tell you something amazing. The Baal Shem Tov says, do you know why we read about the Akedah? Ultimately, again, on Rosh Hashanah. Do you know why? It's fascinating. Do you know why? Because we say, why do we read about the Akedah? And by the way, the Akedah shows up multiple times in the liturgy of Yomim Noraim. Why? Why is it there? What's the role of the Akedah Yomim Noraim? What would you say?
That you're willing to give up your own Hashem.
Right, that you're willing to, right, that's what we think. You're willing to give up everything for Hashem. Chevra, let me ask you. How many of us will be willing to give up everything for Hashem?
Which song?
I'm sorry? We can talk about that afterwards, but I want to say, let's be honest about this for a second. You know, I'm a first-generation American. My mother was born in the DP camps after the war, and she tells me the story that one of her first childhood memories was my grandparents came here. When they first came here after the war, they came to the Bronx. And my grandfather, Zichron Levracha, refused to work on Shabbos. Refused to work on Shabbos. So every single Friday, his employer would say to him, right, Mr. Weiss, you either come in tomorrow or you have no job next week. And week after week after week, he lost his job. He realized it wasn't Shabbos. They moved to Vineland, New Jersey. And he became a chicken farmer in Vineland, New Jersey, where he was Matzliach Baruch Hashem. So my mother says that she remembers as like a child, that like this, she has like this image of her father looking for change, you know, just like between the couch cushions because he needed to buy milk for the family. I always think about that story and I always say to that, I don't know that we could do that. If you had a choice between money and God, you know, we like to think we would. Like you hear these stories, walked away from a big deal because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a difference between walking away from a big deal and not making more money than going ahead and walking away from a job and having no money. I could say, b'tam levavi, with complete honesty, I don't know if I could be omid b'nisayon like that.
And many did not.
Yeah. And by the way, and that's why we don't stand in the judgment of them. We don't stand in the judgment of them. Because who could imagine you have that choice between, you know, we live in a world of teva, right? We live in a world of nature. So the world of nature is, if you don't have a job, you're not getting paid. And if you're not getting paid, you can't support your family. And remember, this is America in the early 1950s, right? There's not a slew of government programs for every single person who crosses into this country, you know, legally or illegally. It didn't exist. You were on your own. They were lucky to be able to get into the country at all. I don't know. How many of us could actually think about being omid b'nisayon like that? So the incredible thing is, Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says something amazing. He says, we read the Akedah, why? To remind us that there are people like Avram Avinu, but that is not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of us. It's such a fascinating shift. To remind ourselves that Klal Yisrael, we produce the best of the best. And we produce Avram Avinus. And we produce, again, Zaydas and Alta Zaydas who are willing to lose their job and, you know, and figure out HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide their parnosa. So there are people like that. But the incredible part is that most of us are not like that, nor are we obligated to be like that. Spiritual heroism is the purview of the Judaic elite. But lav dafka, that's the metric by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu measures us in our day-to-day life. How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu measure our success? Rabbi Nachman says, effort. Effort. As long as Hashem sees that I am trying, as long as HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that every single day my goal is one thing. I want today to be a little bit better than yesterday. And I want tomorrow to be a little bit better than today. Even if it's better in ways that no one else could see, just me. That's success. Spiritual heroism, incredible. And again, that belongs to the elite. There are people able to do that. And by the way, the incredible part also is, you see, spiritual heroism comes out from sometimes the most unlikely people in situations of extreme stress and duress. Like every yid almost has like the, we have the DNA for it, but sometimes again it comes out and sometimes it doesn't. But the good news is, says the Rebbe, that's not a Kodesh Baruch Hu's expectation. So watch this. Where does the Rebbe get, where does the Rebbe get this from? So the Rebbe says like this. He says, this is the Pshat and the Pasuk. Get ready for this. I'm on page Shin Samech Beis in the Likutei Halachos, left-hand column, about 4 lines in. So watch this. Says the Rebbe, or 5 lines in. Al-Kain, Hishira HaTorah al-Zeh, Kilo Bashamayim Hi. So watch this. Rabbi Nachman says, what does that phrase, Lo Bashamayim Hi, means? See, we always read it as, this mitzvah, whatever the mitzvah is, Torah, Tshuva, whatever it might be, it's attainable. It's not in Shamayim. Rabbi Nachman says, no, that's not the message over here. Ki ha-mitzvah zos, Rabbi Nachman also understands it as Yiddishkeit. Ki ha-mitzvah zos is Yiddishkeit. This thing called Yiddishkeit, lo ba-shamayim hi. You do not have to live in the heavens. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not expect perfection, and he does not expect spiritual heroism. It's not what he expects of us. Lo ba-shamayim hi. V'siyem ki karav eilecha davar ma'od. So what does Hashem expect of us? If he doesn't expect Bashamayim, if he doesn't expect spiritual heroism, what does he expect? He expects us to actualize the things that are very close to us. The things that are already in our mouth, the things that are already in our heart. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't set us up for failure. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't set us up in a way that we can't succeed. And he doesn't expect spiritual heroism. Hashem does not expect me to do anything that I'm not really capable of. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu ask of me? Just do what you can based on where you are holding in life. Bechinas sulam mutzav arza v'rosha magia shemaim. Like Yaakov Avinu's dream. Right? Ultimately, again, all of us have that ladder that is rooted in this world. The top of the ladder extends into the heavens. And that ladder represents our journey in life. Dehainu, sheyamshich atzmo ma'at ma'at lemala lemala b'chopam v'yelich b'madrega lemadrega. Ultimately, again, actually, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zechzad Livracha, highlights this idea. He explains, why is it that Yaakov's dream was a ladder? Right? Why not a staircase to heaven? Right? Right? Why? Right? Right? No pun included over there. Right? Right? But why? Right? Why not? Why a ladder? And the Rebbe says something very beautiful. He says, was there a ladder and a staircase? A staircase, you could take a few stairs at a time, right? Depending on how long your legs are. Right? You could take 2 stairs at a time, no problem. A ladder, you can't do that. A ladder, you really could only take 1 rung at a time because otherwise you really risk falling down. The Rebbe says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving Yaakov Avinu. I'm sorry?
And you got to hold on.
You have to steady, absolutely. You have to steady yourself and 1 rung at a time. And the Rebbe says, because that is the incredible metaphor for spiritual success. 1 rung at a time. Hashem doesn't need you to scale a staircase. 1 rung at a time. 1 rung at a time. And again, you take your time. As long as you're moving in an upper direction, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm good. And I don't even need you. Here's the incredible part. I don't even need you to get to the top of the ladder. Right? Because the ladder ends in I don't even need you to get to the top of the ladder. I just need to know, and I need you to know, that you're taking a step upward each and every day. He goes on, he says, this is beautiful. We'll say there's so much in this. Kimo shalom evakshim b'chol yom, shetargilenu b'sorosecha. Right? What do we say at the end of Birchas HaShachar? Right? Shetargilenu b'sorosecha. How would you translate shetargilenu b'sorosecha?
Become habitual.
Habitual, right? Become rugil. Become habituated. Become habitual in Torah. What does that mean? Shetargilinu daiko. Kimo hergel shemargil adam es atzmo be'ezo davar ma'at ma'at. How do you create a habit? Right? How are habits created? habits are created again by engaging in behaviors a little bit at a time, right? A sustained amount of time, same even little behavior, over time becomes habit. Nimsa. So Rosai says, it's incredible, by the way. It does. We don't say, you know, we say Shetagidin Besarasacha. We don't say, HaKadosh Baruch, you know, let us be Mitsuyanim in your Torah. Rather, we don't say, let us be greatest Amidei Chachamim. We say, Shetagileinu, let us become Ragio. Let us become habituated. Let me know that again, I will say again, not to Shamayim, but let me just know that I'm doing good in my life. You don't have to get to the top of the ladder immediately. And I will say, this is so incredibly important. So incredibly important because, let's say, does anyone remember, this was going back a while, there was that book, My Uncle the Netziv, that got banned, right? You know, it became like a sensational book. I'm sorry?
Cult favorite.
Cult favorite. It's excellent, by the way. It really is excellent. Right? But let me say, why was it like such like a to-do about My Uncle the Netziv? What was it? Because, interestingly enough, like, it spoke about aspects of the Netziv's personality, that he wasn't a genius, right? Number one, that he wasn't a genius, because remember, again, the Netziv was the Kodesh Shiva of Valozhin with the Soloveitchik family. Soloveitchiks are brilliant. Soloveitchiks have photographic memories. The Netziv didn't have that. The Netziv maybe had regular intelligence, but what did the Netziv have? Hasmada. Hasmada. He would not stop. So here's what's interesting. For some reason, people thought that was like a slight against the Netziv. That's why in general, you know, unfortunately, there's a little bit of a disservice done with like Gedolim biographies, right? Because how are Gedolim biographies often written? Like pretty much every Gadol comes out of the womb, like holding a pocket shas, you know, like and ready to go. And it's nice, it makes for nice stories, but it becomes totally and fundamentally unrelatable. Totally unrelatable. See, to me, hearing about the Netziv, who actually was probably in yeshiva, like on the more ordinary side of things, and pushed himself to become excellent, oh, that's a role model. That's a role model. That's relatable. That I can look in the mirror and I could see that. And if he could do it. So the Rabbi Nachman says, the goal is not to get from 0 to 60 in under 3 seconds, right? The goal is not to get to Shamayim just 1, 2, 3. What's the goal? Shezeh Bechinas, and Rabbi say, look, but here's the beauty of this. I always find when you look at the Torah of the great Hasidic masters, what's the most beautiful thing is they see the world and they see Torah through a different set of eyes. So when Rabbi Nachman sees this phrase, Lo bashamayim he, we look at it as Hashem's telling us tshuva or Torah is not too far off from you. Rabbi Nachman says, no, Hashem is telling us, I don't need you to be in the heavens. I don't need that from you. That's not my expectation from you. I don't need you to be excellent. I don't need you to be perfect. I don't need your spiritual heroism. I don't need you in the heavens. That's not what I want. He's Gelo Shamayim. Shena Tatzarech Lalos Miad LaShamayim. Rakut Tzarech LeIschazek OLeIschkarev LeMadregas HaKrova Elav Miad. Rather, what do you have to do? Just work on becoming a little better. Work on improving yourself where you are. Take real inventory of who you are and where you are and figure out how to improve your circumstances just a little bit. V'zeh, ki karov elecha hadavar ma'od. And this Rebbe says, that's what he means. When he says, ki karov elecha hadavar ma'od, what I'm asking of you, this davar, what I want from you is only that which is closest to you. What I want from you is to excel and to be excellent, not by becoming someone else in the heavens, but ultimately, again, by maximizing who and what you are. Ki be'emes ha-Torah v'avodah sha'ata tzarech. L'kayim atak fi ritzoni yisparach hu karav eilecha ma'od. Okay, so the Rebbe goes on, and he goes on, he says, ki na torach tzarech l'izgabra las madreiz chasal l'madreiga smucha shikrov eilecha eilecha ma'od. The only thing I ask you, the Rebbe says, is go up one rung in the ladder. Ki karav eilecha davar ma'od. Wherever you are right now, just try to get to that next rung. Just try to get to that next level. Just try to ascend a little bit more. That's all I ask. How do you move yourself from one rung to the next? How do you move yourself forward in life? Beficha says the Rebbe means tefillah Oh, he goes on, he says, or Beficha is Torah and Tfilah, Shai Dezeh, Mekararin Chamimos Halev de Sitra Achra, Shalil Yivar Halev Chasashomet Havos Ros. Shabbat said, this is incredible, right? So he says, Beficha, if you use your mouth the right way for Torah and Tfilah, what does that do? Bilavavcha. It cools the burning fire of negative desire in the heart, which is incredible, right? Steep yourself in Torah and in Tefillah, and that'll give you the tools you need to combat the inner pushes and pulls that try to derail us. The Rebbe goes on, V'gam mekarnes chamimos halev dekdusha, shelo yivar chutz mi'amidem. By the way, Torah and Tefillah also helps to cool the unhealthy passions of spirituality. Because we'll say, what happens? There is an unhealthy passion of spirituality that sometimes we take on too much too fast. We've all been through that. What happens if you take on too much too fast? What happens? You crash. And then you crash, you quit, and then you become disillusioned. Right? Then you're disappointed, you're upset. It happens all of the time, especially on the road. So we'll stop over here for tonight. But I just want to point out to me, what a piece to go into Yomim Noraim. Right? Our goal is not to become perfect. Our goal is not to become spiritually heroic. Our goal is not to have a Yiddishkeit that requires us to live in the heavens. Just the opposite. Ki karov eilecha hadavar ma'od. Hashem says, take stock of where you are. And the only thing I ask of you is wherever you are currently are, just move yourself forward a little bit. Just go up one rung. That's all. How do you do it? Beficha. Surround yourself with the right types of spirituality. Engage in learning. Engage in tefillah. Engage in chesed. Cocoon yourself with the right spiritual activities, b'levavcha, that'll help to tamp down the fires of lust, of desire, of wants, of negative proclivities, and that will allow you just to advance a little bit in life. A successful yid, a successful yamim noraim, doesn't have to be one who becomes spiritually heroic. As long as I know that I'm living a life, or I'm not even taking a full rung at a time. Because we also, you know, sometimes it's not even about climbing the rung. You know what the first step is, right? What's the first step to climbing the ladder? What's the first step? First of all, you have to hold on, right? Second, you just even have to lift your leg. So that act of just like lifting my leg, getting ready to put it on the rung, right? And then putting it on the rung, and then pushing down, and then going up. All of those things are beautiful incremental steps of spiritual growth. And as long as we are doing that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't be prouder. A tremendous lesson for life, a tremendous lesson for Chodesh Elul, and hopefully a tremendous lesson that helps us forge and create our plan for the coming year. We don't have to make major changes. We don't have to make major strides. We don't have to live in the heavens. Ki karov eilecha davar ma'od. Take wherever you are, push yourself forward a little bit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I couldn't be prouder. All right, Debo said, Shkoyach, please enjoy. I don't know, does anyone need Ma'ariv? Okay, we're going to dive in the basement. It'll be in the basement after Shabbat at 9.
This is where they got it from.
Yeah, you're there. Yeah, that's where it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
The other thing is, it's Ragilenu from Ragil. It also comes from Ragil. You go step by step.
And maybe it's the same thing, right? When you keep stepping in the same way. Beautiful. Shkoyach. Everyone, really thank you, everyone, for coming out tonight. Please feel free. There's plenty of food.
Shemaim, Shemaim, Lashem, Lashem.